Welcome to the Relentless Fitness Podcast, the podcast of fitness enthusiasts trying to navigate the complex world of health and fitness. Join me, Will, and my friends Nick and Pete each week as we discuss a different topic of fitness. We sort through all the science and sometimes BS of the fitness world so you can focus on growing and becoming more fit. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Relentless Fitness Podcast. I'm your host, Will. This is episode 20. This will be the second part of our Women in Fitness series that we are doing. In this part, we're going to have Allie back, and then we have a special guest who is no longer a guest. She is going to be a permanent co-host for the show. I am very excited, super, super pumped that my friend Bree has decided that she is going to join the podcast going forward. As you've heard, we haven't had Nick and Pete a lot. It's just because they're super busy. I'm hoping that eventually we will have all four of us on the show at the same time, and I think that'll be really cool. Bree brings a lot of experience and just a different passion for fitness than someone like me or Nick, who just live and breathes CrossFit. So I'm super excited about that. So let's go ahead and bring her in. Bree, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm here. For good.
For good. Forever. We are stuck with Bree forever, and I'm super excited. Good.
I'm really happy to be here.
So for the last couple of weeks, almost about a month by the time this airs, I've been talking about, and Bree's been talking about on her Instagram, some big news, and this is what it is, Bree. After our, the third recording that we did?
Yeah.
I was like, hey, this was fun. Do you want to like do it all of the time? And she was it took a little bit, and then she was like all about it. So I'm very excited to have you here. Thank you for agreeing to do this with us.
Yes.
I know Nick and Pete will be excited to have you here too. So as soon as them back.
yeah. Well, we don't have to worry about that. You know, now you have somebody to hang out with. You don't have to talk to yourself.
Yeah, there's nothing quite as awkward as having to talk to yourself all of the time. So Bree, if you will, why don't you go ahead and what made you decide to want to do the podcast going forward full time?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, we all, you, me, and Nick had a really good time that first time we were recording. And I just remember feeling afterward like, wow, I feel like something just lit up in my soul during that. I really would like to do more of that, more interacting, more talking, sharing stories. I love to share about my experience, and I love when I can talk with other people who like to do the same thing. And so we had a lot of fun, and like you said, episode 3 or so when we were recording, you had suggested that I could, you know, be more of a presence on the show, and I was like, yeah, that sounds really good. And it was right around then that I had this kind of thought. I was going for one of my walk-in pods where I go for a walk and listen to a podcast. And I had this thought, like, man, I think I should start a podcast. I think that's what I really would like to do next. And I wasn't quite sure the direction I would want to take that. And I mean, I haven't done it. I haven't really known people other than you who have done it. And I was like, well, you know what? Why don't I just take his suggestion, start there, dabble with it a little bit, get some experience, and do it in a way that already feels really fun and natural and is about topics I enjoy. So here we are, and I'm pumped.
Yeah, I'm super pumped too. This is really good. Like I said, Bree's going to bring a different level of passion for fitness than the other three gentlemen in this, myself included, have. So I'm very excited to have your different take on things. I think it will create really good discussion and a lot of things for our listeners to think about, which is really what this is all about, right? Like, hey, I'm not telling you the exact thing you need to do to go get fit. We have a bunch of different options that we're presenting to you. Just pick one and go do it. And that's really what it comes down to.
For sure. I think we have different perspectives, and we have our own journeys that have led us to where we are. So it's important to bring more diversity to the table in that way.
The interview that we have today that we will switch over to here in a second is the second part of the Women in Fitness. This one, we had Allie come back and that would be a better idea to have Allie and Bree talk more about women in fitness than Pete, me, and Allie talking about women in fitness. So we got the second part. We do go over a couple of things that we talked about in the first episode of this, but I think there's a lot of really good stuff that we talk about. I'm really excited to share it with you guys. And as always, if you guys want to add to the conversation, hit us up on the Instagram page. And as always, after you listen, if you enjoy it, consider leaving us a 5-star review on Apple. The more 5-star reviews we get, the more people are going to see the podcast outside of our little listener base. The more the show grows, more people we get to share this info with. So share it with your friends. Leave us a review. I appreciate all of you guys from all over the world that are listening. You guys are all amazing. Thank you guys so much. Bree, you got anything before you switch over to this interview?
Sharing is caring. That's all.
Sharing is caring. Share with your friends.
Yes.
All right, guys, enjoy this interview and we'll talk to you guys at the end. All right, everyone. So I got Allie. Allie, how you doing?
Good.
Good. I'm happy you're here back with us again. And got Bree back on the show as a new co-host. Bree, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. All right. So as we mentioned in the intro, this episode or the next two-ish episodes are going to be about women in fitness. And I figure who better to talk about women in fitness than women that are in fitness. So we're going to have a discussion between the three of us, mainly with Allie and Bree, talking about some obstacles that they've had to deal with as women in the world of fitness. Because for a long time, like I've told everybody before, I'm currently trying to get my personal training cert from NASM. And one of the first sections is the history of fitness. And they talk about how in the 60s, 70s, kind of into the 80s, it was more of like a man's world type thing. They had like those old machines that you see in the movies with like the bands that were wrapped around your waist and just kind of like jiggle you, and that's supposed to like help move the fat away and stuff like that. And that's really all women did. They just kind of sat there and just kind of hung out. But now that's not what this is anymore.
Mm-hmm. No.
Participating in the highest levels of fitness, and they're very, very good. I would argue in the world of CrossFit and the CrossFit games that the women's division is probably the most popular division out of everything. The women's soccer team for the Olympics is probably the most popular Olympic team besides the gymnastics team. So women in fitness is everywhere. So my first question for you two is, from your experience, what kind of obstacles have you as women in fitness had to deal with? And whichever one of you wants to start, take it away.
Allie, you go first.
Oh boy. What obstacles have I had to face? So can you be a little more specific with the question? Are you referring to like physical, mental, like what type of obstacles, I guess?
I kind of want you guys to decide that. And what I mean by that is when you think about something that not necessarily held you back, but something that you have to deal with, not on a daily basis, but on a consistent basis, what's the first thing you think of that you've had to deal with in the gym or just being a woman trying to be prevalent in the world of fitness?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think to start off, I know we talked about this a little bit, just even that first time that you're in the gym. I mean, it's been a while since I first took a step into the gym, but just feeling like that intimidation, that almost like that fear of the unknown, that confusion of like, what am I supposed to do? Like, am I doing this right? Is somebody going to come up to me and say something? I think when you first start when you first start anything, that's how it is. But I just remember feeling that way when I first step into a gym. And even as like a former athlete, I mean, we didn't do a ton of lifting and stuff when we were playing volleyball. So I still didn't even know what I was doing. So that was definitely intimidating when I first started working out in a traditional gym.
Do you think you had the intimidation came from everybody in the gym, or was it specifically men in the gym or specifically women in the gym?
So during that time, I didn't see a whole lot of other females. Like, I guess I'm referring specifically to like the weight room.
Yeah.
So at that time, I didn't see a whole lot of other, this is during college. So I didn't see a whole lot of other girls in the gym lifting weights. And maybe that was part of why it was so intimidating, is because I felt like I was the only one there and I was trying this new thing, but there were no other females there. So I guess like, I guess it would have come from the guys kind of, I guess I was afraid that, you know, somebody was going to say something to me maybe, or I was just more so like an insecurity in myself that I was going to look like a fool. Yeah, that's probably where that stemmed from.
Brie?
Yeah, I can relate to that too. I'm just thinking back to, you know, when you were talking about college, Allie, it actually made me think about college. And I haven't thought about my exposure to fitness and the weight room in college that much. But that's kind of where it took a new level for me. I remember learning a lot more about strength training. I had a boss at the time who was really into it. And I was like, can you like teach me how to do some things in the gym? And so we had a few sessions together where he was just bringing me through workouts. And I would say now looking back, they're very much CrossFit style. And so I would carry those movements into my own workouts going forward. And I remember this girl who was on the gymnastics team came up to me one day and she was like, you're like the only other girl I see in here working hard. I was like, oh, okay. And yeah, there is that intimidation. And I think for me personally, I was just always concerned that somebody was judging me from afar. But I think that's more than just the gym scene. Like that's been something that I've struggled with for a long time. But there specifically, and being one of the few females who was picking up weights instead of hopping on the treadmill and running. But like on the opposite end of that too, I was intimidated by those girls who were hopping on the treadmill and running for 7 miles. 'Cause I was like, I can't do that. I don't do that. You know? So there's just a lot of intimidation and a lot of trying to figure out what am I supposed to be doing versus what's good for me, because there's so many different options out there. And I think you kind of start by doing what you see most around you. And until the last, I mean, number of years now, women are getting more into strength training, but it hasn't always been advertised that way. So when you walk into a fitness floor and you like take a look around the room, okay, where do you see most of the other girls? Doing cardio. Okay, I guess that's where I belong. Mm-hmm. So just kind of finding your place has been a challenge, but I think it's getting easier for people. There's a lot more permission being given to just do whatever you want to do.
So if I can real quick, and I'm sorry, Allie, as both of you are women in the gym that like to throw around heavy weight, squats and things like that. What was it like having to, like you were just talking about, Brie, a lot of women, when they go to the gym, they just spend a lot of time on the treadmill or just some of the machines and not necessarily lifting heavy weight.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a stigma or an obstacle, like we were talking about, that you've had to overcome, of it being okay as a woman to go in and deadlift and squat more than the guys?
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with confidence and who you are and who you want to be and what you're trying to achieve. Because, I mean, if you know why you're doing cardio, cool. If you enjoy it, if you feel good, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I think it's just easy to look at a lot of really well-developed men and feel intimidated when you're looking at the weights, like, I don't look like that. So should I be doing that? But when you decide what you want and what you want to feel like and look like too, then you can make those decisions for yourself. But yeah, I think a lot of it has to come from confidence and being willing to walk before you run. Like, you don't have to get in there and do all the crazy things, but you have to start somewhere. You know, you have to pick up that weight, go a little bit heavier than you think you're capable of, and surprise yourself that first time. And that just opens the door.
Allie.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. I'm just thinking, like, anytime I see, even today when I was at the gym this morning, there were two other girls next to me doing like squats. And I was like, in my mind, I was like, yes, like there's two other females here out of all these guys doing squats with me. I just think it's awesome. They might have no idea what they're doing, but they're there. They're showing up and they're trying, which I think is really refreshing to see.
Agreed.
We talked about this with Allie for a while, but I want to ask you both about it. Body positivity, right? You're both very strong ladies. How have you had to deal with or personally had to deal with being so much stronger or being a different body type than what's usually seen in like Cosmo and stuff like that?
Oh yeah. This is a big topic.
Yes. and this is why we're here, right? So this is where I'm just going to be like, all right, ladies, take it away.
I just love watching Will ask this question because I feel like he's so uncomfortable.
Well, I don't like, it's like I said when we were talking before, yeah. I'm a stupid man and I don't want to, I don't want to ask this in a insensitive way. I want to make sure that I ask it correctly because I don't want to offend anybody. I'm just trying to learn how to help. And I'm hoping that a lot of people that listen to this want to be here to help empower people because the whole purpose of this is I just want people to get out and move, man. I just want people to get out there and feel better. Mm-hmm. And I don't care how you go about it. And I also don't want people being assholes in the gym. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's why. Take it away.
Well, I think you're doing a wonderful thing by creating a platform to have this conversation. And I think a lot of people are more willing to talk about this now, which is, like Allie said, it's really refreshing, you know, like female positivity in fitness and health and body positivity. There is so much floating around the internet about body positivity. And if you look for it, you will find it. And it's fantastic. It makes me really excited because we are all human. We're all different. We're all going through things on an individual level that a lot of people can relate to. And the more we just own up to that, talk and open up about it, be vulnerable, the more we can share and have more of that like shared human experience and learn. You know, I think we're onto something.
I agree. And I also, just to bounce off that, I know you had mentioned like magazine covers, so like Cosmo and magazines like that, that come to mind when you think of like females. I think that's changing as well. I think you don't see what you would have seen maybe like 5-10 years ago, where it was more of a very thin, maybe not so curvy. I don't know. The ideal is changing all the time, which is very exhausting for women to try and feel like they need to keep up with it. But I think that, you know, like social media, magazines, TV, whatever, is really portraying a wider variety of body types, which I think is really awesome.
You can see the effort.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which I think is really cool. It's interesting thinking about magazine covers. Growing up, for whatever reason, you know, I always would look at them and be like, oh, wow, they're so beautiful. But I feel like I didn't start seeing myself as different until much later than I think a lot of people do. Maybe that's not true. Maybe it was influencing me more than I thought. But I mean, I talked about this in one of my earlier episodes too. Growing up as a gymnast, I had a muscular physique. I just always have. I've been built that way. And it's easy for me to gain strength and to gain muscle, but it took me a long time to feel confident in that. For a long time, I was insecure about it and embarrassed. And, you know, people would make comments about my strength and my muscles. And if I would have felt maybe like there were more people around me who were embracing that, I might have responded differently. But I'm hopeful that younger people now are being exposed to more, so that hopefully they grow up feeling a little bit better.
Yeah. That's so funny that you say that, because I'm the opposite, where I'm like, I really want to gain more muscle, more strength, but it's harder for me. So I look at like different body types that are more muscular and that type of body. And I'm like, man, sometimes I have to remind myself, because, you know, we all get into these like mindsets where, as much as we're promoting body positivity, we still get sucked in sometimes, and we kind of have to snap out of it.
Yeah.
So it's just so funny that we almost want what we don't have. So we have to learn to just like embrace like
hair style.
Yes.
You know, you're always like, I wish I had curly hair. I wish I had straight hair, whatever. But yes. Yeah.
And then there's somebody else that wants what you have. And it's just like, we all just need to be happier with what we have, essentially. That's, and it's easier said than done.
Yeah. But that's as simple and as complicated as it needs to be. Like, we need to find joy in who we are, the way we're born. You know, like, I just remember being young, noticing that I was different in a certain way. Like, we're all different. And thinking about, oh, I can't wait until I'm older so I can like get breast implants, or I can't wait until I'm older so I can, you know, do XYZ, whatever it is. Like, that one just came to mind because we're talking about bodies. But now I'm like, what? I can't believe that I spent so much time thinking about things like that. And I just, yeah, I don't know why we do that. Will, do guys do that too?
Yes and no, I think. So I think guys want to, when you're growing up and you start like doing the gym thing, Allie, your camera keeps fading in and out. So you look like one of those people in the documentary that doesn't want their identity known. And I love it.
Yes!
Sorry. I just noticed that. I'm like trying to like adjust it, but I don't know what's going on.
It's all right. It's really cool. So, this is not a visual medium. It's fine. I think guys do deal with that, but it's different. And what I mean by that is when the guys are 13, 14, 15 years old, and they're like, we're going to go hit the gym, bro. And you just go in there and you're doing all of your curls and stuff. You see guys like, cause at that time when I was that age, Jay Cutler and all of those guys were on the cover of Muscle and Fitness and all that kind of stuff. And that's what you saw. And you may not want to have been as big as Jay Cutler, but you're like, that's what a guy is supposed to look like. Just,
yeah.
Wah, right. And, I know for me, I see the guys in the CrossFit games, Rich Froning, Matt Frazier, Pat Vellner, those dudes are some of the fittest people on the planet, and they don't look like Jay Cutler. So the body positivity thing, I think is there for guys. It's just, we're like, oh, I might want to look like that one day. I don't think it's as hard pressed on us to look a certain way.
Yeah.
You know, moms and grandmas always tell you, you're lifting too much. You're taking all those steroids. And if you don't have like a big stomach, you're wrong, you know, type
thing. I've never heard that before.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I had one of my grandmothers, it was from Tennessee, actually. That's something that she used to say. You're not eating enough type thing that grandma, I don't want to look like that. It's all right.
Yeah. I think that comment has some weight to it too. Like, when you're thinking about ways you want to look, why is it that we look outward for that? You know, like, we're looking at other people and saying, yep, that's beautiful. Yep, that's strong. That's masculine. That's feminine. Whatever. We look externally and we decide that we want to try and achieve something that we're never going to achieve because it's not us, you know? And so I think, I mean, for me personally, thinking about how I've used that kind of concept to help shift goals for my clients. Like, you have to really get comfortable in how you see yourself, how you feel, and start inward, you know, and like work your way outward on your own body, but don't look at somebody else and copy what they're doing and hope that you're going to look the way they look and then give up when you don't, because it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. I think that also, like for me personally, the minute I switched that flipped that switch in my head where I was like, I'm going to start exercising to feel good and to move my body versus I'm going to exercise to look good. It just makes it that much different and that much better. Yeah. Like you have that motivation. You want to go to the gym because you want to do it for your health and your happiness and not for how you look towards mm-hmm. from other people's point of view.
And how much more sustainable has that been for you, Allie?
Much more sustainable. I mean, I've always liked exercise, but like there's some days where you're like, oh, you know, I don't want to get up out of bed. Like this morning, honestly, like it was cold outside. I was like, didn't really want to go, but you just know that you're going to feel better. Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. Chase that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to step back to something that Bree said a little bit ago. Have either of you had to deal with, especially having bigger social media presences, have either of you had to deal with people being like, this is not what you're supposed to look like? Unfortunately, I've seen that a lot on Instagram for some female athletes. And I think it's bull. I don't think that that's something that guys should be saying or women should be saying to other women. But have either of you had to deal with that in the gym, on social media, anything like that?
I personally have only had one experience, and it was in the gym, which was the most awkward experience ever. And it was while I was bodybuilding. So I don't remember like where I was at in my season, but I know I was toward the end because I felt the best about the way I looked in the sport than I had that like the whole time. Anyway, this guy, he had approached me a couple times because he could tell that I was a bodybuilder and he bodybuilded. I don't know.
We can make up a word. It's fine.
He was a bodybuilder back in the day, and this was like 20, 30 years ago or something. And he was asking about all the different divisions and which one I was in. And then in a future conversation, I'm lifting weights, like doing my workout, and I can see him in the mirror behind me, observing me. It's like, this is very weird. And he comes up to me and he's like, I think that you need to work on your calves. And I think you need to tone down this a little bit. And I could not believe it. I don't remember if I said anything to him or if I just walked away. I don't know. But I was like, who is this guy who is not my friend to come up and tell me that I need to do something different with my body?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thankfully, that was the only experience I've had, I think. If I've had others, I let them go.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't think that I've actually personally never really had any experiences like that.
I see them with other people. Like, you know, there's all the haters out there, mm-hmm. the trolls on the Instagram.
And oh, yeah.
Like, they're definitely out there. But I think people are, with the community that's being built among strong women, I feel like if somebody says something out of line to somebody and you don't even know that person, but you see it, like people go there to defend.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that because I think strong people deserve to be strong and supported. And I think the people who are insecure about something in themselves and are taking it out on others need to just, you know, be quiet.
Yeah. Shut the hell up.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say.
Yeah, I got you. So how did you both get past the stereotype that, and we kind of see it now still, but I don't think it's as prevalent anymore, of if you're a woman and you touch a barbell, you're going to look like the women that participate in like what DLB or Dana Lynn Bailey was doing, where they're just like, huh.
Yeah. Like, you're going to get quote unquote bulky.
Yeah. Too bulky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what was the question? How do we deal with that?
Yeah. How do you deal with that? How do you encourage other women to realize that's not the case, that you would have to train specifically for that if you wanted to do it that way?
So I can talk about this from working in a corporate gym. You know, anytime I was meeting with somebody new and they're telling me about their goals, and or it's a new client, we're talking through things, they'd be like, I really want to get stronger, but I'm so afraid. I put on muscle really easy and I do not want to get bulky. And I'm like, okay, tell me a little bit about your history. So we talk through it, and it's clear that this person has, you know, lifted a little bit here, a little bit there, and they're just afraid of it. I'm like, I don't think you understand how much effort is required to get that way. It's not like you're going to start lifting and 2 months later, you're busting the seams on your clothes. You're just not. Mm-hmm. So I try to remind people the what's involved with it all and like paint the picture for them. But yeah, I think it's just a cop out, honestly.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it does take a lot of work to get there. And I don't know if it's like social media or society or who is kind of like influencing people to think that as soon as you start lifting weights, this is how you're going to look. But also just like kind of like uncovering that fear of like, what's wrong with looking that way? What's wrong with looking more muscular? Like, is there some sort of like deep fear or insecurity or something that does makes them not want to look that way?
Yeah. And that's absolutely another thing that I would bring up is like, okay, if this is your goal, and you're also opposed to reaching your goal, what's really the issue here? Like, where's this fear coming from? Where's the resistance coming from? Do you have a support system? What do they say? How much weight do you give to their opinions? Because a lot of people want to look a certain way, feel a certain way, but they have influence around them saying like, no, I like you the way you are, mm-hmm. and I don't want you to change. And yeah, that's not good either.
So I'm happy you brought that up because it's something else I wanted to ask you both. Your support system, right? Mm-hmm. Guys deal with this too. So I'm not going to just say that only women deal with this. Guys deal with this too. But for both of you, as a certified personal trainer, as a certified nutritionist, how do you deal with that with clients where they have a toxic environment around them? And they have somebody that's telling them, oh, well, I like you the way you are. I don't want you to change. How do you deal with that?
That's tough. For me, I've maybe had a handful of people who are actually in this situation where it's like, I don't have anyone who's rooting for me here. Then in that moment, it is my priority to be the person rooting for them. And I make sure they understand that when we work together, like we're a team. I'm going to be cheering you on, moving you in this direction. And when you have somebody in your corner like that who understands what you're trying to achieve and why and what the resistance is around it, I mean, it's not just about the training. It's about how do you show this person support? How do you lift this person up? How do you give them a voice? How do you help them set boundaries around what really matters to them? And I think that's when coaching really extends beyond fitness. And it's just like, how do you help this person be a better person for them?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Allie?
Oh, that's a tough one. I'm trying to like think. I often wonder, like with the clients that I've worked with, like what the dynamic of that relationship is. Like, is there some sort of misunderstanding with your client and the whoever they're having this challenging time with? Like, do they not understand that you want to get better for yourself, or do they have like fears that you're, maybe they have a fear that you're going to get bulky and they're not going to like you anymore or something like that. Mm-hmm. I would honestly, I mean, obviously still be their cheerleader, but suggest that they have a very like sit down, have a conversation and just maybe emphasize how important this is for them. Mm-hmm. Just to get that point across, because maybe that other person doesn't understand, you know, that these fitness goals are really important to your client. And there's just some sort of misunderstanding there. I don't know if I explained that very well, but.
No, you did. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. I think communication is a big thing. And anytime people are starting or like they have a new goal, they're starting a new routine, a new habit. So often we do that without telling anyone, you know, mm-hmm. we decide like, okay, I feel better when I do this, I'm going to start doing this. And we just go and go and go, making assumptions along the way that our support system understands what we're doing, why we're doing it. And I mean, this happens in so many facets of our lives. And that's why communication is so important, making it clear why you're doing something and why it's important that that other person support you. Like if they love you, if they're there for you, then this is what you need, you know? And most people are really receptive to that. I think there's just a lot of fear around confrontation and those conversations, especially if people haven't had a lot of strong relationships in their lives up until that point. It can be really challenging, but again, it's just a coaching opportunity.
Okay. So we've been talking like positive environment and positive our body positivity. What, again, as a personal trainer and nutritionist, how can we get more women to want to actually go to the gym, to actually want to work out, and to see the benefits of it and not just go to do cardio? That may be what they want to do, go run a marathon, and that's great. But see the benefits of things like weight training, like resistance training, as two women in fitness and in those fields, how do we do that?
I have one idea.
Yeah. Do it. Let's hear it.
So I am personally have always been somebody who values strength, and that is something a lot of people can get on board with. Like, how often do you ask somebody, do you enjoy being weak? And they say, I love it. It's the best. You know, I haven't encountered anybody like that. So I think a powerful and simple question to ask somebody is, how would it feel, or how would your life maybe change, maybe improve, if you were stronger? Or what areas of your life would you like to be stronger? And I think if people give it some real thought, it may extend outside of fitness, and it may start in like, I want to be able to play with my kids, or I want to feel like a strong mom, or, you know, whatever it is. But I think strength means so much more than physical. And that's what's so badass about strength training, because it's so much more than physical. I would argue it's more mental than anything. And the physical stuff is just the positive byproduct of it all. I think, you know, I've explained in my own fitness journey that when I was doing a half marathon, when I was training for that, the whole time, all I wanted to be doing was lifting weights. But that's because I already knew I enjoyed that. What I learned through the running was that there's so much mental, there's a big mental component to all of this. And when you're able to look a self-doubt right in the eyes and then go right through it and overcome it, it's like, holy Moses, that felt so good. Like, that's kind of like when I was like earlier, I said something about that's when you really just open the door. You show yourself what you're capable of. And when you do that in the fitness industry or in the gym, whatever, you're going to start doing that in other areas of your life too. You're going to start feeling more confident, stronger, more decisive, I mean, there's a number of things that you could gain from all of that, and it's just going to improve your life.
I love that. Love it. Kind of going off that, yeah, just finding what's your why almost. Like, yeah. Why do you want to get stronger? And I think also just getting over that fear hump. So, like, getting over that fear and just trying it. And if you don't like it, if you don't like lifting weights, that's okay. There's going to be something else that you like. But what if you find out that you love it and then mm-hmm. it becomes your thing and then you get stronger and then it's just so much more mental than it is physical as well. So I totally love what you just had to say, Brie.
Good. Yeah. More strong women, please.
Yes. Always. Physically, mentally, emotionally, all of it.
Yep.
So I think we're seeing a big change in, especially in the social media presence of strong ladies, strong females, and the younger generation starting to want to emulate that now. And I think that's really good. The one I think of is, the two I think of is Haley Adams, who is 19 years old at the CrossFit Games this last year. And she always talks about like the 11, 12, 13 year old girls that comment to her about wanting to be like her when they get older. And then Katrin David's daughter does the same thing. And I imagine in bodybuilding, it's the same way that these women have younger girls talking about wanting to be strong. And I think that's awesome. So as two ladies in fitness, how can you make it more acceptable for these younger girls to want to go into the weight room at a younger age and become like you?
I mean, again, I think part of it is just being willing to share your own experience. We all have such different experiences and bodies and mindsets and struggles along the way. And when we share that, it's like we take the power away from the struggle and we throw it on everything that's being gained, you know? And I think when we share that and when younger people see that and they see it repetitively, well, then they start to think, well, what about me? You know, and they stop stifling their own beliefs about what they're capable of before they've even tried it. So I think, I think it's the same in the bodybuilding and non-bodybuilding spaces too, that more people are showing up as they are authentically, sharing their highs, their lows, and I think it's only a matter of time before like 99% of women are just strong and fierce and badass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just be a good role model. Mm-hmm. Like, just show them how great it is to be strong. Have like those conversations with them and then introduce them young. I feel like I always say, I wish I was introduced to CrossFit when I was like 10 years old, because I'd be like an elite athlete. No, I don't know. But I'd probably be like
better. I dreamed that as well.
Yeah, it wasn't really a thing when I was that age. But I think if you just like introduce it to them young, even if it's just the most basic like movements, like a squat or something like that, is just so beneficial. And then just keep playing that positive role model in their life.
Yeah, I want to piggyback on that. There's this girl I follow on Instagram. She and I were on the same bodybuilding team. Her name is Kelsey Lensman. She owns KML Movement. Check her out. That was just an unsolicited plug. But
shameless plug.
Yes. She posted something recently about how at the gym there was this little girl there and she introduced her, or she kind of lit up around the weights. She challenged her to try a bicep curl or something, I think with a 5-pound dumbbell. She did it. She challenged her to try even heavier. She ended up going heavier after thinking, no, I can't do that, and did it. And the way she lit up, the way Kelsey described this girl's reaction, was so cool. And I was like, yes, more of that, more focus around like, prove to yourself what you're capable of, don't let other people tell you, like, write your own story. And can we make it less about beauty and more about just who we are as people and our strength and what really makes us who we are? So yeah, I'm all about that.
Yeah. So I'm going to add one more thing to that. Just, I know this conversation is going to go on forever, but yeah. Going back to that, this applies to all people, but especially young, like girls and boys for that matter, but really focusing on how your body feels versus how it looks. So yeah. Especially at a young age, like, I mean, they're on social media. They see how other people look, but when you start making exercise and movement more about how your body feels at that time afterwards, rather than doing it for looks, I think that is huge, especially with the younger population.
Yeah. Yep. I agree.
I love it. This is great. Okay. So, what about the older generation? Right. So our parents, right? Women going to the gym was not necessarily a thing when our parents were growing up. I can think of a couple of examples of people that I know that are older now, and because they haven't been active most of their life, they're 50, 60 years old and they're walking around like they're 80 because they never trained their muscles. Do you think, especially for the women that are older, can we change that stigma for them too and make them realize that it is okay to start late because it can improve your quality of life?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I will just say, here's another person you should go look up on social media. Train with Joan. Has anybody here heard of her?
Nope.
No, but I'm looking her up now.
Okay. She started late in the game, okay? And she was just in Tulum this last weekend doing a strength training competition with Brett Contreras and his Glute Squad team or Glute Lab team. That lady is a beast. And so I think of her every time now. I think of somebody who's like, no, I'm too old for that. No, you are not. You are not too old to get better today. Find a better excuse, I dare you.
Yeah, that reminds me. I was just at the gym on Sunday and some lady came up to me. She asked me to help her adjust like one of the machines. And I was like, how old are you? And she's like, I'm 85 years old. And I'm like, you should be so proud of yourself for being here. Anybody should. But she was 85 years old, coming in by herself, doing the machines. And she said, if I have one piece of advice for you, it's take care of your body and eat healthy. And I was like, that's great advice.
So. It is great advice. And everybody's been giving it for so many years. And we're still struggling to grasp that advice.
Yeah.
Because we're human, that's why. And it's not always easy to make good choices. But that's why we got to get really clear on how we feel. Because if we can choose to feel better, we're going to get more in tune with what our body craves, what our mind craves, and everything's just going to flow better from there.
100% agree.
I love it. Okay. So we'll start wrapping up a little bit. What can we do as a society? And I guess this is going to be mostly directed at men, but what can men and women, whoever, whatever gender you are, what can we do to help people feel more included in fitness, right? Whether that's going to the gym or working out at home, what can we do to make people feel more included so we don't go backwards, we keep going forward?
I think people have to walk into that space like they belong there. Mm-hmm. And that can take a lot for people. I mean, we've got a lot of introverts out there. I'm one of them, but you have to like command your own space and you deserve to take up that space. You know, I think it goes back to what we were talking about in episode one, when we were talking about being intimidated going into the gym. Like, that's only because you allow yourself to feel less than, but you're not, you know, like you have to empower yourself to show up and to know that you're there for a reason and just forget what other people are saying or whatever looks they're giving you, because yeah, you gotta just do it.
Yeah. And know that everybody starts somewhere and you know, just give yourself props for at least getting there. Like that's the big first step, is getting your foot into the gym or like starting a new diet or whatever it is. Just give yourself props and know that it's not going to be a perfect journey. There's going to be bumps along the way, plateaus, whatever, but there's other people going through it too. So I think we just need to keep creating a space where we're like vulnerable and open about some of the challenges that we're experiencing. And then also just being each other's cheerleaders and knowing that it's okay. You know, if we fall, that there's going to be other people there supporting us, whether it be even like through social media, by being vulnerable and knowing that other people are going through the same thing, I think would be really helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think sharing is one of the best things. And that's what I always encourage my clients to do, is like, as you're starting your experience, share it with people as much as you can, because it's just going to build confidence for you and what you're doing. And in the off chance that you spread some inspiration to somebody else to do something better for themselves, wow, let's keep that positive chain reaction going. So sharing is huge when you are, when you're doing something that scares you. Yeah.
Love it. Okay. To finish up, we'll start with Bree and then we'll go to Allie. Bree, if you could say just one thing or like a short essay paragraph or whatever about women in fitness, what would you say?
I feel like I just showed up to the ACT with no idea I was showing up to the ACT.
You're welcome.
If I could say one thing, essay, paragraph, like, about women in fitness, what would it be?
Yep.
Well, goodness gracious.
A whole essay?
Hi.
Well, I'm going to give you the option of either making it one sentence or going as long as you want.
We coming? We're staying.
I love it. That's what I'm talking about. I love it.
I don't know how to top that. I know. Oh.
We come in, we stay in. I love it.
Period.
Period.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to bounce off that because there's so much energy in that, and just say, world, you better watch out, because women are on the rise and we are not coming in quietly. We're making noise. So,
coming loudly.
Yes.
That's ear to the ground. You're going to feel us before you see us.
I love it. That's great.
That was wild.
Allie,
that's a great way to end it.
Yeah. You have anything else you want to say, Allie?
I don't know. Like, that pretty much sums it up. Just like, women are powerful. So I feel so good about the direction of just where society and women and strength and everything about, you know, body positivity, all of that is going. And I'm just really excited to see what the next few years bring for that.
Yes, me too. Agreed. Concur.
So that the we're coming and we're that thing, that's going to be like in the show notes in big capital letters.
We staying.
We coming, we staying.
You should just name that the podcast.
Yeah, we coming, we staying. Okay. Allie, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you for coming on again. Bree, thank you as always.
You're so welcome.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, everyone. So that's the end of episode 20, part 2 of our Women in Fitness. Like I've said before, this is something that I want to continue doing. So we'll bring people back in occasionally to talk about this, because I do think it's an important topic. Yeah, so thank you guys so much for joining us. I hope you guys enjoyed it. If you did, please consider leaving us a review. Everyone that has done that, thank you guys so, so much. Next week, we will be back, and Bree and I will be talking about COVID and fitness. pretty good conversation that we had. So yeah, that will be next week's episode, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Thank you for joining us, and we hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Be sure to follow us at Relentless Fitness Pod on Instagram, and please subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll see you guys in the gym.